Hi guys, and welcome to the Raw Coaching Co-Podcast. You're with your host, Amanda Mitchell, and today is a good day to be alive, let's be honest. I didn't actually think that when I first woke up this morning, but we're getting there, we're chugging through the day and soldiering on, doing the things that I didn't feel like doing today, which is just part of life sometimes, putting the big girl pants on and moving forward. I'll update our listeners for those who don't know or for those who haven't been in the loop with what's happening. We've had a pretty eventful 2 weeks. One of my sons ended up being airlifted from Mudgee here where we live all the way to Sydney Westmead Hospital. Pretty full on. He needed 5 blood transfusions to help him get back up and healthy again and functional. And our other son, who is only 3, also needed to have a blood transfusion. The pair of them have a hereditary blood disease from my husband, Craig, and basically the virus that they got stops the body from being able to produce red blood cells from the bone marrow, and their blood disease already kills off healthy red blood cells in the spleen. So unfortunately for them, a bit of a double whammy. We didn't really know what we were dealing with in the beginning either, so it's quite scary. But my son got so, his hemoglobin levels were so low that he needed urgent help at the Sydney Children's Hospital, and he needed blood urgently in his body. So the poor little darling we were at home here. He'd been sick for a couple of days. I'd had him at the hospital a few times because something just didn't seem right. And he collapsed on the floor of me. So that was very scary, very, very scary, especially when we didn't know what we were dealing with. So it was kind of very eventful. We spent 2 weeks or 9 days at Westmead, and then on our way home, I got a call from my husband who he'd come home the day before saying that our other son was also quite sick and that he also needed a blood transfusion. So we headed in to a different direction, to a different hospital, something a bit closer to home. He was only there for a couple of days, but we've had a pretty eventful 2 weeks. So we're just sort of at the tail end of that now, and hence why I didn't have it. I actually thought about recording a podcast when I was at the hospital. I wasn't really in the mindset. I know that sounds a little bit, what's the word? It just sounds a little bit hypocritical considering that's what I'm doing. I did really try to keep a positive mindset, but there was a point there at which they didn't know what was causing him, my elder son, the issues, and they didn't know if it was viral or not. So they were actually starting to do further testing, which was quite scary. So I guess I was a little bit in a bit of a funk, and I did consider one night there, you know, just going off and doing a few things that, you know, that I know I really enjoy doing that would also help other people. I just couldn't find the space to record podcasts at the hospital. It's so noisy. We got there in the end. We got home. We've been home now for a couple of days, not quite a week yet. We're just easing back into life and, just trying to really get back into normality because it's quite unsettling what we went through. But, he's okay. And so we know it was just a viral infection and that's what it does. But at the same time, you know, it was quite scary and we've been through a fair bit of stuff. So back into it this week. And I just, you know, just wanted to get on here and record a podcast. I've had some things that I want to talk about, which was more about resilience today than anything else. It's just the resilience and how resilient we can actually be, what it means to be resilient and what you need to do if you're not feeling very resilient. So, you know, resilience is something that is learned. It's not necessarily something that you just have. It's something that you learn and you teach yourself. So you might say, oh, I'm not very resilient. He's not very resilient. It's definitely a muscle and something that you can learn. So I had a lot of people sort of coming up to me saying things to me about my son and how we just, you know, gone back into life, and I was back at the gym the following week when we got home and all that sort of stuff. And I guess you would probably say that it's because of my mindset that I can do that. It doesn't mean I'm not tired. It doesn't mean I'm not feeling the effects of what life has thrown at me. And it doesn't mean that I'm not struggling in some way or not feeling amazing in some way. Like it just means that we've been through a tough time and yeah, I've given myself a little bit of time, but I also know that exercise really helps to process some of this stuff. And it's also good to get back into routine because you can't stay in that funk forever. Yeah, we gave ourselves a couple of days, gave ourselves the weekend to sort of recuperate and get back into it. And then it was like, okay, we had something really shit happen, but we're out the other side now. Even to my son, like after having been through all of that, easing him back into sports and things like that, but saying to him, like, if you feel good, you don't want to go 10 out of 10, but if you feel good to move your body and do that stuff, mate, it's really important to do that. Listen to your body, listen to what it's telling you. If it's not feeling good and it's not feeling energized yet, hold back for a bit. But just being able to come back from that and not be down and thinking about it all the time and why did this happen to us? And it's like he's not suffering from any terminal illness. And we're very lucky, I'm grateful. He just had a glitch in his body for a little bit. We had to go to hospital. It was shit 2 weeks. It was hot. It was long. We're home now, and it's like we're back. We're back, and we're ready to get back into things. So I just wanted to talk about that muscle and how you build it. And I guess it happens over time. It's not just going to happen in a day, or it's not just going to happen overnight. It is a muscle that you need to build, building resilience. And yep, you know what? If you've needed to take a bit more time for certain things that you've done in your life, then that's also fine. But then learning when that break or that time that you've had is enough, and it's time to, get back in and do the things that you want to be doing. So I made myself a cup of tea before, and I'm just having a little a little sip. So how do you build resilience? How do you build it? Well, you build it over time. You build it with your mindset. You build it when something is happening to you or something big is happening in your life, and how are you coping with it? What sort of things are you saying to yourself? How are you allowing yourself to process and go through the big thing? Because I know a lot of people that would go through some of this stuff and just be completely floored by it. Like it might take them out for a good 6 months and be like, oh, I can't go to the gym, I've got to do this, or become really protective of their kids or that sort of thing. And it's just like, we've had quite a few things happen to us. And I feel like so that's probably where we're at because we have had a bit of practice with this before. My son was attacked by a dog when he was 3 and a half. I went through personal depression. I went through PTSD after that. And although I had resilience, it was the postnatal depression that sort of brought a lot of that on. But the difference in my mindset this time around is just phenomenal. The difference in how I feel, the difference in my ability to get back up and go again, would have a lot to do with not having postnatal depression, obviously, at this point in time. But the fact that we've been through it before and being able to go, okay, and look at it from a really black and white sort of perspective and go, he's okay, we're back, everything's back, we're back on track. Let's get back into life. Let's get back into doing the things that we enjoy. Let's move forward. Let's not stay in this hole and dwell on what happened. Let's get up and move forward. So yeah, not being paralyzed by it, but it definitely comes down to your mindset, and it definitely comes down to what you're saying to yourself, like, and the things that you say inside your head to yourself. It's really, really important. Like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, or oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? It's like switching that all around to really believe that everything's going to be okay, and that, and how to move forward as well. So towards the end of our hospital stay, when I could see that my son was starting to feel a bit better, I was starting to steal him in the wheelchair and go outside the hospital grounds, I took him to a cafe, we went to the park. I just said to him, like it was like second last day we'd been there, he was starting to feel better. And I knew that sitting in the room all day on a device was driving him insane and not helping with his recovery. So I just said to him, get dressed. He's like, what? I'm like, come on, let's go. We're going to get up. We're going to get dressed. I'm going to take you out. He can't, couldn't really walk very far at that point. He was quite lethargic, tired, like his hemoglobin was still not 100%. Like, he wasn't feeling great. He was weak from all of the things his body's been through. And I thought, well, how are we going to do this? Grabbed a wheelchair, chucked him in it, put a hat on, took our drinks with us. I'm like, I'll take you for a walk, buddy. Let's get out. Let's get out and see a bit of the world today. So, I knew he wasn't needing to be like any emergency care from the hospital. He was off all his IV stuff. So it was like, okay, let's go. So I found a really beautiful park. We went for a walk through the park, and I even went to the point of getting him out of the wheelchair, letting him have a bit of a walk around and a wander. But he goes, oh, I really want to go down that slippery dip. And there was a bit of climbing up to the top. And I said, are you not feeling dizzy or anything? No, I'm feeling okay. I said, just go, take it slow. And I really feel like that afternoon I saw a different energy in him. His skin color looked different. He really picked up a lot, and it was all because we changed the environment. We got him out of that environment. We sort of showed him that there is that in just a few days you're going to be doing this. You're not going to be sitting in a hospital bed anymore. You can actually, there's so much you can do. And that night his appetite was a bit better. It was like this part of his recovery was all part of us getting him out and actually starting to do some stuff with him rather than just letting him sit in the hospital bed playing video games all day. So the next day I did the same thing, and I sort of restricted his video games. He wasn't very happy with me, but I said, hey, we're not doing that today. We're going to have your obs checked, and then we're going to get out. And he was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it. All this sort of resisting. And I just said, oh, I remember yesterday when you said the same thing, but then by the afternoon when I got you out and we did that, it was actually really good and you felt good. Yep, okay, mum. So off we went. Same thing. We went to a cafe. We had a nice green juice. We had no, didn't have hospital food for the morning. Like, he got some nutrients into him. And then I just saw another bit of a change in him again, even if it was just 5%. It was that level of, mindset change, pushing him a little bit outside of his comfort zone and just getting him to understand that there is an end to this and we're nearly home. Let's keep moving forwards. So we actually spent most of the day out that day, and I took him back to the hospital for his ob checks and things like that. And the nurses were probably a little bit, some seemed a little bit like, what are you doing? Like just taking your kid out everywhere. But I could see that he was better outside of the hospital room. So why would I take him back and leave him sitting there for 6 hours in the day in the hospital room, dark, dingy, not enough light, no fresh air, when, I could get him out even just sitting in the garden at the hospital, like in his wheelchair, just playing doing a few other things, watching the world go by. So just showing him that too towards the end, and really sort of trying to push him a little bit, nudging him, because he was really hesitant to do things like that and really not sure about his ability to handle those things after being in hospital for so long and going through what he went through. But yeah, it's important to teach that. It's important to keep pushing forwards. It's important to, have your little time of down and digesting and taking it all in, but then also knowing when that time is to step back into your normality, step back into routine and all that sort of thing. And it can sometimes be quite challenging to do that as well. It's not always going to feel good to do that after a big life event, but it's such an important and integral part of the recovery process for everybody involved. And to not be dwelling on it all the time and to talk about the event like in a way that isn't like demotivating. Like, it's okay, this happened, but you know what? Here are some really amazing things that we found out of it. This is what we've learned. These are the positives. Yeah, there were some really big negatives in it, and yeah, we were flawed. We got pushed down a deep hole for a couple of weeks, but now we can see a different side of that and what we learned from his blood disease and what we've discovered and the education we've gotten around it, the doctors, the nurses, the amazing people we've met, the experience that we had, the help that we got back at home from different people. Like, although there was a bad thing that happened, there's also a really amazing lot of stuff that happened out of that as well. So I just want to share that with you guys today, because I just feel like, Sometimes we can be a little bit stuck in certain things that happen to us. And maybe you've been through something similar, or you've been through something less scale, bigger scale, I'm not sure where, but just having a think about where you might be stuck and where you could perhaps be a little bit more resilient in that aspect. And yeah, maybe there's something that you're not doing anymore. Like, I know people definitely that have stopped doing things for themselves when things like this happen because they just feel like they need to be there to care for their kids 24/7. And rather than going into that mode, we really want to go into a mode of like, everybody needs some care now after that. Everybody needs some TLC. Everybody needs some extra support. But that includes mum and dad as well, most definitely. They are the ones that usually have to take all the time off and keep out all the balls juggling and everything while things are happening. And it's just so important to get back to doing something you enjoy and filling your cup back up too, and getting the person to also get back into doing things that they enjoy as well. So that's it for me today, guys. I just wanted to share that with you. I've got something planned for next week for our podcast. That's exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really, really enjoying getting back into the podcasting recording again because it has been such a long time since I've been able to do it consistently. So really enjoying that. I hope you guys are enjoying it too. And yeah, if you got something out of this podcast and you could share it with somebody, and yeah, all feedback is always awesome as well. So if you've got some feedback for me, I'd love it. Send it my way. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. See ya.